Chance for showers tomorrow, then some reinforcing drier weather, and Peyton Malone saying highs on Labor Day of 86 with low humidity, and I can't remember that in a long time, and it's especially good during hurricane season as we approach the statistical peak on September 10th. I had the pleasure of meeting this gentleman after Katrina, and he's one of those names that maybe people remember, maybe they don't, but I think he was instrumental in the city's recovery. And I'm talking about psychologist and theologian Michael Cowan. Good morning, doctor. How are you?
I'm fine. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Tell me, I guess, how did you become to get involved with the Katrina recovery?
When Mayor Nagin put his Bring New Orleans Back Commission in place, you might remember that it had seven or eight different working committees, and one of those was on government efficiency and effectiveness. Mm-hmm. The chair of that committee was a local banker and business leader, Gary Solomon, and he asked me to join that committee, and that's how I got involved in the process.
What did your work consist of, doctor?
We identified a number of points of government functioning that we thought had to be fixed and working properly in order for the recovery to work as it should. And so, for example, one of the things that we looked at was the functioning of the ethics process in the city. We looked at the functioning of the levy boards. We looked at I guess maybe there were 10 or 11 of those items. They were sort of big ticket things that were daunting, mm-hmm. but really important. I think another very important one that we identified was the fact that the city didn't have a kind of astounding, but the city didn't have a master plan or a comprehensive zoning ordinance, which meant that there was no rhyme or reason to development, and everything was on an ad hoc basis and on a very political basis. So what we did was we identified that list of issues that needed to be addressed. We identified what the best ways that those things were being addressed around the country were. We had help from the Kennedy School at Harvard on that. So when we, for instance, determined that ethics is a real issue in the operation of the city was at that point, we were in touch with them, and they said that the way that cities are dealing with ethics most effectively at that stage was through what's called an independent monitor. So we went to work with council members to get that legislation passed, and the independent monitor is at work today.
With that being said, do you have any thoughts on the recent ethics legislation weakening the ethics board or changing it?
Well, you're speaking at the state level, Tom?
Yes, sir, at the state level.
Yeah, well, I do. I am concerned about it, but honestly, so much of what we were concerned about and what the city, I think, needs to be concerned about is at the city level. Mm-hmm. That it doesn't affect the local functioning. I'll give you a different example, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Of the same thing, if I understand your comment. A group of citizens here spent years, and Jay LaPere is the leader that most people associate rightly with this effort, but Citizens for One, Greater New Orleans, a number of other civic groups were involved. They worked for literally years to set up the best system of oversight of the levy boards that this place has ever seen. Mm-hmm. And people who know the city, the history, as you do, know that the levees broke at Katrina because, first of all, they weren't built properly, and then secondly, the so-called oversight bodies were just not doing their job.
Michael, correct me if I'm wrong, but just to get the truth out there, the Corps of Engineers studied these levees in Vicksburg, and the results were the same as what happened during Katrina, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
In other words, it was a problem with the design and installation of those But so that was like a the you know, I suppose the proverbial ticking time bomb. And when Katrina came, then the condition of those levees was revealed. And the truth is that the levee boards in the meantime had been wasteful. They had been corrupt, and they had been dysfunctional, meaning that nobody was watching over the levees of a great American city when that storm came. So Mr. LePere and those other people went to work and created a functional, ethical, straightforward way of seeing to the oversight of those bodies. And one of the things that really concerns me, honestly, is that the governor seems to be taking it upon himself to undo the work of those levee boards. And
specifically, you know, levee boards, not ethics, is what you're saying, right?
Yes, I'm on levee boards now. Right. That's right. And the structures that have been set up so painstakingly and that had begun to work well, there's been more controversy about those in the last 6 months than there was in 6 years before that.
Doc, let me ask you a question, Michael Cowan, sincerely. Even if they had been inspected, Congress appropriated the money to build the T-walls, right? And I remember the phrase peanut butter and jelly sandwich being used. So yeah. Would any oversight have prevented that, or was that a situation where Congress only allocated so much money to the Corps of Engineers? Tell you what, I'm running late. You can answer when we come back. 722 traffic now, WWL. 727, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Dr. Michael Cowan, a psychologist, theologian, founder of Common Good, network of civil society organizations begun after Katrina. We'll talk more about that. Dr. Cowan, just so I remember correctly, I know the Corps of Engineers did these tests in Vicksburg. They were told it'd be like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Congress allocated X amount, so that's the way they built them. Could oversight have prevented the disaster?
Well, Tommy, I don't actually know. I'm not sure who could know the answer of that. Mm-hmm. because it didn't happen. But my appreciation is that there are some things, very basic things like periodic walking around inspections that would show water leaking or water oozing. And I'm not sure about all the technical parts of it, but how could we not take responsibility for watching the state of those things when we know that the whole city's fate hangs in the balance there.
Tell me about Common Good, some of the civil society organizations that arose from that.
Yes. Common Good was an offshoot of a community organization that started in 1990. And I was part of that along with Reverend Dwight Webster from Christian Unity Baptist Church. And that was an interfaith and interracial social justice group, really. It was based on the idea that in a place like New Orleans, you can't get the basic change that you need if blacks and whites aren't cooperating, and also if other important communities like the Jewish community, the Hispanic community, et cetera, weren't involved. And so we were doing that work. We had done some work with schools, with a juvenile court over on the West Bank, and we were really kind of just beginning to hit our stride when the hurricane came. And so in normal meetings of all sorts of, as you know, civic organizations and so forth, just totally disrupted by that. And I saw business leaders beginning to gather after Katrina, like the Mayor's Commission. I saw governmental leaders, of course, gathering. They were gathering sometimes in groups, but what I didn't see was enough participation from the non-governmental, non-business organizations like congregations, neighborhood associations, and so on. And so Common Good was the name that I gave to the effort to bring those voices into the rebuilding process after Katrina.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. Dr. Michael Cowan, our guest, he's spending an hour with us as our Katrina commemoration continues. Psychologist, theologian, the founder of the Common Good, a network of civil society organizations begun after Katrina. He is also a psychologist. So I want to talk with him about the, collective effect on the psyche of New Orleanians of Katrina. 7:30, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. Back with Dr. Michael Cowan, psychologist, theologian, founder of Common Good Network of Civil Society Organizations, begun after Katrina. One effect, I guess, of Katrina or I can't think of the word, doctor, but anyway, about the Inspector General Office. That was one of the benefits, I guess, if you will, of Katrina, or one of the outcomes. We have a problem with Dr. Cowan's connection. We'll hook that up and fix it up. In the meantime, I wanted to ask you at 504-260-1870, that's the Oakland Heart Jeweler talk and text line, what would Katrina be like, what would the city of New Orleans be like if Katrina had not struck us? And I'm going to ask Dr. Cowan that as well, because I know we're going to talk about the Office of Inspector General. I was one of the offshoots of Katrina. That was a word I was fumbling for before. But maybe that wouldn't exist, and what else wouldn't be here if not for Katrina? With that, we welcome back Dr. Cowan. Doctor, I was saying one of the offshoots of Katrina was the Office of Inspector General. Do I remember that right or not? I got the timeline right or not?
Yeah. No, that's right, Tommy. And it's a good one to look at, because it's an important one to look at. There's a whole list of really important things that happened. We talked about some of them before, the levies, the master plan, and the zoning ordinance, and so forth. But if I could just step back, just a little big picture thing here. A city, we all know it's a complicated thing because we live in one, and we know what it's like to live in one that's often not functional. If we just step back and think about what a city is, one thing you could say is that it's a set of institutions that need to work right, mm-hmm. like city government, like policing, all of the other entities and agencies that are part of city government. And what does work right mean? Well, this is what I think it means from our experience after Katrina. A government that's functioning right is using public money properly and effectively to do whatever its job is. So let's say city government. The job of city government is to administer the city. And it takes a lot of public funds to do that every year. And those funds are either spent properly or they're not. They're either spent ethically or they're not. When an institution's when a city's institutions are corrupt or dysfunctional, what happens is that people, like business people particularly, do not want to invest in a place where they have to pay a bribe in order mm-hmm. to do business, or where they have to overlook some sort of shady or ask for special favors. That they're going to go somewhere else if they're faced with that sort of alternative. So what happens is that the corruption in city government leads to a smaller economic pie for everybody, and the people that get harmed the most are the people that most need city government to function properly. Hmm. And then finally, when the economic pie is not adequate and it's not fairly sliced up, that's when you start getting things like racial tension, racial fighting, racial prejudice, all of the things that we saw. You may remember just how inflamed they were at the time mm-hmm. of Katrina. I mean, you couldn't attend a school board meeting and hear anything but, 45 minutes worth of ranting. So when those institutions aren't working properly and economic opportunity isn't growing fairly for everybody, that's when racial tensions among us flare up and get strong and make it harder to change anything. But if you flip that around, when public institutions like a city or like the police department, when they function fairly, when they function effectively, when they function constitutionally, then there becomes a climate where investment escalates and opportunity escalates and racial tensions go down. That's the equation, I think. And the best thing that we know of in cities and even states and the nation for making the institutions of a place function properly is an Office of Inspector General. That's an office that's set up independently. That is, neither the mayor nor the city council can close it down, and its mandate is to go wherever public money is being spent and assess the quality of it. So sometimes they'll be looking at competence, and sometimes they'll be looking at legality. And we have a, I think myself, But the most powerful institution that we have that came out of Katrina is our Office of Inspector General.
Let me take a break, Doctor. When we pick it up, you know, I have a bunch of questions I wrote down. An hour goes by pretty quickly. But I want to ask you, what do you think the city would be like if Katrina had not destroyed the levees? Because Katrina did not hit us, first of all. I want to be accurate in that. And secondly, it's easy to say, is the city better off or worse off? I think it's the better question is, what do you think, as involved as you were, the city would be like if Katrina had not destroyed the levees? Where do you think we'd be? We're talking to Dr. Michael Cowan, psychologist and theologian, the founder of the Common Good Network of Civil Organizations begun after Katrina. I know I talked to him a lot of times in those reconstruction days, if you want to call it that, or recovery days, I should say, not reconstruction. 7:50, 10 till 8, traffic now, WWL. Pardon me, 7:56, 4 till 8. Quickly back to Dr. Michael Cowan, a psychologist, theologian, did a lot of good work after Katrina. I don't like the question, is the city better or worse? Because I think that's like the healthcare system, Dr. Cowan. It's, if it works for you, then it's okay. If the city's better for you, then it's better. If it's not, then it's not. But overall, looking back, what do you think the city would be like today if Katrina had not destroyed those levees and flood walls?
Well, it's a great question. Reflective question for this anniversary time, Tommy. And let me answer it in a particular way. When in the 10 or 15 years after the storm, a lot of people who were involved, myself and lots of other people, even more than me, we were asked to, you know, comment or to come and give a presentation or do this or that. And every time I did that presentation, somebody in the audience would raise their hand and they would say, do you think that what you've just described, these changes that you've just described, would they have happened if it weren't for the hurricane?
Mm-hmm.
I swear that question, I got that question 12 times if I got it once. It got me thinking. And the answer that I came up with is the changes that I've just described, like an independent monitor, a master plan, Office of Inspector General, would they have happened without the hurricane? I think the answer is no.
I think you're right.
I think the answer is no. But there's another part to it. The hurricane didn't make them happen either. I mean, no one came down from the skies and gave us an inspector general or, a levee board. Those things happened because the hurricane, it interrupted business as usual, and it gave people a chance, business people, civic people, religious people. It gave us an opportunity to step into that breach. It was like a weightlessness in a way on the moon or something. And it gave us a chance to do some things that wouldn't have happened. And some of those things we did, and they did happen. And these are game changers. The inspector general is a game changer. The master plan and zoning ordinance is a game changer. And I've already mentioned how I think the Office of Inspector General is a game changer. So there are good things, things to be proud of and continue working on. There are opportunities missed, but you know, we're human beings and we were under really difficult circumstances.
Doctor, real quick, as a psychologist, I don't know if you want to answer this or not, but the collective psyche of New Orleans, could you have been here? Could anybody have been here and lived through this and not have been permanently affected?
Well, I don't see how they could have, Tommy, but also I'd want to add that some people were so profoundly affected that they're still recovering, still trying to get back on their feet, and other people have been able to move through that, not just because of some willpower, but because they had resources, they had supports, they had opportunities that helped them do it.
Doctor, it's a pleasure to talk to you again. You know, we spent some time together immediately after Katrina. I hadn't heard from you in a while, and it's good to hear your voice again to talk to you. Thank you for all of your work with the Katrina recovery.
I appreciate the connection, Tommy. Thanks very much.
You bet. Dr. Michael Cowan, psychologist and theologian, interesting take on Katrina and the after effects. We'll take a break and come back to Dr. B, Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health, about health information online and misinformation or disinformation. Then we'll talk to Jamie Carroll about the changes in the school systems in New Orleans after Katrina. That and a whole lot more. Stay with us. Tommy Tucker, WWL.